you guys are here. We're glad that you are here today as we are going to look at the Word of God together. Looking at Daniel chapter 3 is where we are right now. Looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, that wasn't the name that they were given. The name that they were given was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That was the name that they were given at their birth, but the Babylonians changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and in this message, I'm going to refer to them by that name. Well, we've been walking through the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, we see Daniel first making up his mind that he is going to do God's will and do it God's way. It says in verse 8, says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. That's the first encounter. You remember Daniel and his three friends, probably teenagers. They were taken from Israel to Babylon, and they were chosen to be as part of the king's royal leadership. And they were chosen to hear what the Babylonians taught, their knowledge, their wisdom, their understanding. And so Daniel made up his mind that he was not going to follow that. Also, his three friends made up that, made that same decision. So, in chapter 1, verse 9, after this period was over and Daniel and his three friends were tested, and they were shown to be far above all of the others. It says there, then at the end of the days, I'm in verse 18. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked to them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. That was kind of the first test, or that was the first time that they were shown to be different. Another time that they were shown to be different is in chapter 2, when Daniel finds out that the king has had a dream, and the king is saying to his soothsayers, wise individuals, he said, I don't want you to just give me the interpretation of the dream. I want you to give me the actual dream that I have. And their response to him is, no one can do that. No one can respond to you and give you the dream. Tell us what the dream is so that we can give you the interpretation. Simply is making the king even more mad. And so Daniel, he replied to them with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard. I'm in chapter 2, verse 14. who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, he said to Arioch, the king's officer, "For what reason is the decree from the king so harsh?" And then they answered him and informed Daniel of the matter. And Daniel, in his boldness, he requested that they could have just a little more time so that they could find out what was going on, what the dream was, and what the interpretation of it was. So what is it that Daniel does? In verse 17 of chapter 2, Daniel went to his house and informed his friends. He said, "Come on, let's join together and let's pray that God will give us an answer." So they did that. And then Daniel received not only the dream, but its interpretation also, as you read on in that. Verse 27 of chapter 2 says, "Daniel answered before the king and said, 'As for the secret about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, sorcerers, soothsayer, priests, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king.'" However, here's Daniel taking a stand. "However, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." This is the second time that Daniel stands out before all the others. And he actually, because of what he had done and because of what he and his friends had prayed, asking God to intervene in them and give them the dream and then give them the vision, they experienced what only God could do for them. They didn't say, "It was because of my wisdom, it was because of what you had taught me, it was because of these things." They said, "It was because the God who knows secrets has revealed to us about you and what you're going through." And so now we get to chapter 3. And this is a moment where Daniel's three friends stand out. And I want us to look at some of the things that happened in this chapter as part of their life and what they experienced with God's care for them. So in chapter 3, we look at, the first thing I want to talk to you about is living with the temptation to rebel. You know, we all face temptations. These individuals face the temptation because the king, I'm going to try to summarize here, the king had made a big statue. It says that it was about 90 feet tall or high, and it was about 9 feet wide. So you can understand this is a big statue. And the king wanted everybody to bow down to the statue, to honor him, to worship the statue. And so Daniel, I mean, his three friends ultimately were asked to bow down to him. They were asked multiple times. Notice in verse 5 here. Get to it. it says that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into the middle of a furnace of blazing fire. So this was the temptation. Now, why was it a temptation? It was a temptation because God had already said when he gave them the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or of any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God." God wanted them to worship him as the one true God. I mean, that's what God was showing when he brought the people of Israel out from Egypt. Time and time again, he was showing them that he is the one true God. So we get to this experience with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, and we find that these young men say, "We are not going to bow down." And so they are given the opportunity to do that. But in verse 12 of chapter 3, this is what the tattletales were saying about the Jews. It mentions up here, "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods, nor do they worship the golden statue which you have set up." These three individuals knew what was going on, and they chose not to bow down to the golden image. They chose to follow what God had already given to them. So in verse 13 it says, "Nebuchadnezzar in rage and anger gave orders to bring these three in. Then these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar says," now here is the second place, "Nebuchadnezzar began speaking and said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn," these musical instruments, "to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, very well, but if you do not worship, you will immediately be thrown into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can rescue you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew the God who could rescue them from the hands of the king. And they believed it with all of their being. And they were determined not to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had raised up there. Look at their response. Starting in verse 16, they replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue that you have set up." Man, talk about boldness. Boldness in the midst of knowing what was going to happen if they did not bow down, but they were willing to stand strong. They were determined to obey God rather than man. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul said, he said, "No temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will allow you a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." These three men knew the importance and significance of not giving in to the temptation to bow down and to worship the God. Now, when you think about that, they were willing to be burned in the furnace for their conviction. They were determined to obey God rather than men. Now, in verses 15 says there, if you are ready. Then verse 16, their reply to the king. Verses 19 through 20, the heat of the fire in the furnace was how many times? Seven times greater than it had been heated before. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered this, and it says as you go on that the people who captured and bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were told to throw them in the fire. In verse 22, "For this reason, because the king's command was harsh and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men fell into the middle of the furnace, a blazing fire, still tied up." Now notice what happens when you get to verse 24. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was astonished at what he was looking at. He stood up quickly and he said to his counselors, "Was it not three men that we threw bound in the middle of the fire?" And they replied to the king, "Absolutely, O king." He responded, "Look, I see four men." He responded, "Look, I see four men untied and walking about in the middle of the fire It's an important word. Unharmed. Unharmed. They were willing to stand for what they believed, and they received the blessing of the presence of God with them. He says, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of God's. You can believe what you want to, but I'm telling you, the Son of God was present. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door in the furnace of blazing fire. He said, come out. Come on out, you servants of the Most High God. Now, isn't that interesting? This guy who had said that God, after Daniel had interpreted the dream for him and gave him the interpretation, he said, God is the Most High God. Then he built a statue. He built a statue for people to worship and to praise him with that statue. And then now we have him again after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are brought out of the furnace. We have him saying, you servants of the Most High God, come here. And so they did. And guess what? They begin to inspect them. All of the soothsayer and the wise men that had said, you know what? These guys are not bowing down to Shadrach, the statue. And so they now are coming and inspecting them. And notice what they said. The king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies. No effect. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm starting a barbecue grill, you know, the heat from that barbecue grill singes the hair on my arm. They came out with no effects. There was no effect on their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had even the smell of fire touched them. Now, that is power. God demonstrated his power. They experienced what they were going to receive when they followed what he desires. You know, I thought about this word when the king was astonished. Has anybody been astonished by your faith? By your obedience, by your confidence in what God is doing. You know, God didn't just do things then. God is at work now. God is going to be at work in the future. He is going to reveal himself time and time again. The question is, are we going to see it? Are we going to experience it? Have you experienced God's rescue in your life? God coming through for you in a time of need as you cry out to him and experience his rescue in the midst of those times. Have others seen God's rescue in your life? Experiencing God's rescue is something that we should experience in our lifetime, at least once, if not multiple times. we experience God's rescue in our life. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a situation at your job. Maybe it's a financial issue or a health-related issue. But you and I, when we cry out to God, we have, the possibility of experiencing what He wants to give us, a rescue. And if you are here today and don't know Him, there is a rescue for all of us from the penalty of sin. And that rescue is only found in Jesus. It's only what God planned and purposed. So, we have the ability to experience God's rescue. We have the ability to demonstrate God's rescue, which is the last thing I want to talk about today. The blessings of standing with God. What are the blessings of standing with God? Because these young men stood by their promise to obey God, no matter what the cost, they were rewarded. Look at what it says in verse 28. It says, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, listen to this, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and surrendered their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Man, what a powerful statement. Do we have that kind of confidence that God is going to rescue us? So, part of the blessing is the actual rescue. Second part of the blessing is, I make a decree that any people, nation, or population of any language that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb and their houses made a rubbish heap, because there is no, man, this is so powerful, there is no other God who is able to save in this way. Remember, there is no God, little g, who can save you from this fire. Yeah, there is. And God proved his faithfulness to the obedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by what he blessed them with. It says, then the king made these three prosperous in the province of Babylon. Now, if you think back to this story really started when they were raised by Israeli parents. They were raised by Jews to believe that there is only one God, one true God. They had to have known the commandments because those were passed down even verbally before they were written. They were passed down through generations to ultimately get to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were obedient to that call. The question is, you and I have the Word of God today. Are we obeying Him? Are we doing the things I don't want to talk to you about the things that are questionable. I want to talk to you about the things that are black and white, the things that are very clear in God's word that we are to do. Are we living by that same standard today? Or have we compromised in some way? Have we given in to what the world would say? Or have we given in to the culture that we live in? Or are we following the ways that God wants us to live? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You and I have been given the opportunity to take a stand for God. Maybe at our work, maybe in our home, maybe in our neighborhood, maybe with friends, maybe with strangers. How are we taking a stand for God? Acknowledging that He is the one true God and that we worship Him. We worship Him for who He is and what He has given us the instruction to do. So you and I are faced with a challenge today based upon the Word of God in Daniel. We are given the challenge to take a stand, to overcome temptation and to experience what God wants for us, and to experience His rescue, to experience Him leading our life in the way we should go, and Him raising us up and giving us the ability to speak what He wants for us to say. And who's in charge of the consequence? He is. He is. He is able to do that. Matthew West has a powerful song that says, "I'm unashamed." This is what it says in the first verse and chorus. It says, "Three brothers in a fire willing to die for their faith, but you were with them in the fire, and they walked out of the next day. And Daniel met a lion because he chose to pray, but you," meaning God, capital U, Y, "but you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day." Says, so what's going to be said of me? It's a question that's asked. It's all said and done when it's all said and done. Will I stand for my beliefs, or will I turn around and run? Well, let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that changed my life. For the name above all names, I am unashamed, and I will live my faith out loud. Take a stand and stand my ground. For the one who took my shame, I am unashamed." Can you say that's true of you? You know, one of the things that we talked about in Bible school, Vacation Bible School this summer, was about living out what we know. Living out the gospel that is in us as we go through our life, as we go through our day, as we serve others, as we follow the direction that God has given us in our careers, in our families, in our marriages, are we unashamed of what God has done for us and how God has opened the door for us to experience what He can do? It's important for us to understand another principle that is taught here. And that is that the only way that God reveals Himself is through our obedience to Him. That is a way that God reveals Himself to others. So, we have to be willing to push through the struggle, push through the problems, push through the issues that are ahead of us in order to show that God is able. He is able to work in those circumstances. That's how we show our kids. It's how we show others in our family. That's how we show people that we work with. In those difficult times, in those trying issues, we show that we have surrendered our life, given our life to God. And because of that, we are going to stand with Him. So as you look at your life, as you look at your circumstances, is there a time that you feel like God has seen, or others have seen God working in your life? If not, it's time to ask God for that. And when you ask Him for that, you are asking according to His will. And when you ask anything, as it says in 1 John 5:14 and 15, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. God Himself is going to give us the direction that we need to live and to show others how God is at work in our life. Let's pray together.